Welcome back to the newest episode of Frog Fever, a Big 12 basketball podcast brought to you by killerfrogs.com. My name is Davis Wilson. Joining me as always is Nick Giramani. Nick, it's been a while. Holidays, happy new year, all the things. How you been?
I've been good, man. Just chilling. Yeah. I'm ready to get into the conference slate. How about you?
Oh, you know, same. Just relaxing. Watched some, you know, bowl season was good.
Yeah, and that was fun, especially for you.
Yeah, Mizzou beat Ohio State, and I went to that game. That was fun. But a lot of good football to watch, a lot of good basketball to watch. And finally, now we're getting into interconference play. We're getting into some Big 12 play starting this week, and I could not be more excited about it.
Yeah, I mean, we've come this far with bad non-conference matchups and just kind of predicting things. Now we're, you know, as football ends, we're starting to get into the real thick of it with conference play and the Big 12 gauntlet.
Yeah, so I guess first, before we get into, I mean, TCU has an absolute slate to start, and we'll get into that later. But before we get into that, I thought we could talk, I guess, some big picture kind of conference stuff. There are a lot of really good games coming up, not just for TCU, but for everyone in the Big 12. And we can talk about some of those. But first, our first episode, if you're a real fan, our first episode, you heard us draft the, I guess, power rankings of the Big 12 before the season started. And I have that list here. We're not only going to go over the list we had, but we're going to redo it because we had some misses. So I guess, what do you want to, you want me to read off what we had, or you want to redraft right now?
Yeah, I'm interested to see what we had, because I don't even remember. I'm sure we missed on some BYU or K-State stuff probably, but
yeah. That's all right. I'll start with that then. I'll go from last to first, what we had it originally, and then we'll go ahead and re-rank them as we head into conference play.
Cool.
All right, so last place we had UCF, which at the time I feel like wasn't crazy to say, but they're not the worst team in the conference, right?
Yeah, definitely. I wouldn't even say they're maybe not even bottom three. I don't think we expected the collapse of West Virginia or Oklahoma State to be so drastic, where they both haven't even gotten like a good win yet. So I don't think UCS is anything that impressive, but they're definitely not the worst team in the conference.
Yeah. KenPom has them as the fourth worst. So that, what would that be, like 10th, I guess? 14, 13.
Yeah.
11th. Yeah. 11th. So yeah, that wasn't egregious. It gets more egregious, but I'm okay with that pick because it was hard to know what they were going to be. You know, we didn't really know what their transition would be like. But 13, we had West Virginia, which is about right. But now it's very clear that West Virginia is the worst team in the conference.
Yeah, I agree. That's probably a good take on us, to be fair, because I don't even think other people saw them as being that bad right out the gate. So, yeah, I mean, they're bad. 13 and 14 is about the same. So I'd say we nailed that one.
Yeah, we had worries about, I mean, they had the craziest offseason you can really have. Their all-time head coach leaves in kind of a dramatic fashion. All their players leave. So we predicted that that would be a problem. And it turns out we were right about that. So,
yeah, they came 12. In season 64. Yeah, they came in season 64 in KenPom. So, I mean, their talent was there, but obviously with that offseason, they were just a collapse that can't be fixed at this point, I don't think.
Yeah, it's just tough. But yeah, I guess we got that one pretty good. This next one we also got pretty good. We had in the 12th spot, we had Oklahoma State. And KenPom has them as the second worst team in the conference. They have some really bad losses and not a ton of good wins. So yeah, I feel okay about that.
Yeah, I mean, so far so good, to be honest.
Yeah, this next one's where it's starting to get a little rough here. At 11, we had Oklahoma, and Oklahoma right now, I think AP has them as the 11th best team in the country. Ken Pom has them as the 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 best team in the conference. So, safe to say that was a bit of a miss, but it was hard to know what they were going to be like because of all the new pieces they had coming
Yeah.
in. But that was probably the first miss that we have on here.
I still don't think they're upper echelon, but they're definitely playing better than people would think right off the bat, and they're obviously a good team. So yeah, we probably missed the mark on that one.
I would say a little. I mean, it's we still have a. I mean, conference play is where you're going to find out the most about
Yeah,
these
for
teams,
sure.
and so we still have a lot to figure out at the 10 spot. The 10 spot we had Cincinnati. I feel like that's around where we want to have them now, right? I mean,
Yeah.
they're better than I maybe anticipated, but that still might be good enough to be in the 10.
Yeah, they got off to like that undefeated start. They were 7-0 or 8-0, I think, and they were looking good, but they just haven't gotten a good win yet. So they're probably right about where we expected.
Yeah, they beat up on a bunch of bad teams and then lost to Xavier and Dayton, who are both top 45 KenPom teams. So
Yeah.
they don't really have a good win. And, they have BYU to start. They have BYU on Saturday, which we'll get into BYU in a second. But yeah, we'll see about Cincinnati. In the 9, speaking of BYU, we have BYU in the 9.
Yeah.
What do you think about that?
What's crazy at that time is that I believe BYU might have been picked 13th in the Big 12 coaches preseason poll. So we obviously missed the mark on him, but I think everybody did, and it just kind of shows just how shockingly good they've been this year. They're number 2, or wait. They're number 2 or number th they're number 3 in KenPom and number 2 in net so far this season, and they've just been nothing but remarkable, I'd say. I'm so interested to see how they're gonna do in Big 12 play because now they have that target on their back where they can't really sneak up on people. But that home court advantage is tough, and I do think they'll stick around a bit. They open versus Cincy. We can talk about upcoming matchups in a second, but I do believe we were wrong and they're gonna be in the upper echelon of the Big 12 for the rest of the season.
BYU gets Cincinnati at home, and then they go to Waco to play Baylor on Tuesday, January 9th. So,
Yeah, in that new gym, so that'll be fun.
that should be a cool atmosphere. That's probably the first. I mean, I guess they had a big game, but that's, that'll be a really cool atmosphere there in Waco. In the 8 spot, we had Texas Tech. I feel like this is about right. Right? I
Yeah,
mean,
I
they're
say that's probably
around
dead
right.
on. Yeah, I mean, they're going to be a bubble team, and being 8th in the Big 12 is get you on the bubble and maybe a shot at it. So that's, I like that. They're kind of similar with that in that Cincy Tech, maybe TCU, maybe Texas tier of the middle teams that are going to be on the bubble, and every game's going to be so big for them.
Yeah, KenPom has them at 9 right now in the Big 12. We had them at 8, so I feel pretty good about that. At
Yeah.
7, we have Iowa State. Iowa State is 6th in the Big 12 in KenPom. They're 11-2, and they're 17th overall in KenPom. So, I don't know. What do you think about Iowa State?
Yeah, I really like this Iowa State team. They've impressed me as much as anybody, I think. They've just been so consistent. They don't really have that bad of a loss, and they have a really good win over Iowa. They beat VCU. They have a win over DePaul. So I think they're going to be very frisky coming into play. Their defense is a top three in KenPom. Their net is really good. Their net's 8th. So have an 8 net and a 17 KenPom. I mean, they're with that defense and Ames being such a tough place to play, they're going to be a force in the Big 12, and they could finish top 5, top 6.
They've been a really good team. And they have a couple, I mean, they beat Iowa at home. That's a pretty good win. They have a win against
Yeah.
VCU. They have a couple of good wins, and a couple close losses. I guess they lost by 4 on a neutral site to Texas A&M, and they lost by 9 to Virginia Tech on a neutral site. But yeah, I like this team. They defend the heck out of the ball, and in this conference, that's kind of what I look for. I love to see a team that defends, and I'm excited to see who do they open with? They open with Oklahoma on
Oklahoma,
the
yeah.
road. Wow. That'll be
That's gonna be a
great.
big test because both those teams have impressed so much. And it's like, oh, like, who's for real to start the year? Like, they both are gonna want that one bad. So that's gonna be a must watch.
Yeah, they get Oklahoma on the road, and then Houston comes to Iowa State on
Yeah.
Tuesday. That'll be another good game. All right. In the sixth spot, we had Kansas State. There's been a lot of stuff.
Bad.
There's been a lot of stuff going on with Kansas State, and it's safe to say that was probably a miss.
Yeah, I mean, you couldn't predict what was going to happen with the Tomlin stuff, and they've had injuries to like they lost a guard yesterday, and they even struggled with Chicago State, but they just can't seem to find any consistent offense right now or defense, to be fair. I don't think they're a good team. They're just so thin at this point. And I feel like they're going to struggle in Big 12 play and probably not make the tournament, to be honest. So that's a big miss on our part. We were probably just riding that success from last year too much and probably thought Tang was going to figure it out more than he did.
They open with UCF at home. Both of those teams are probably looking for a win to start off. They actually, as far as Big 12 schedules go, they have a really, really favorable start to the conference play. They have UC, they are home for UCF. They go to West Virginia, which West Virginia is a bad team, but what it's always tough to play there. And then they go to Texas Tech. Same kind of same thing there. Texas Tech is so tough to play. It's tough to win in Lubbock. And then they host Baylor, and then they get Oklahoma State at home as well. So you're really only looking at like Baylor and Texas Tech as those really tough games. And then,
Yeah.
I mean, UCF, West Virginia, and Oklahoma State are all winnable games for them, I would say. So they have a chance to at least get off to a decent start, and you know, maybe we'll find out more about the team they are. But yeah, that was a miss. They are not as high as we had them.
Yeah, I even think they might struggle in those games. I mean, we're probably gonna do a looking ahead, but they're just not a good team. And as you said, like those games are favorable, but every game of the Big 12 is so hard. And I think other teams will be looking at K-State as a winnable game too. So
Absolutely.
it's gonna be a lot of back and forth, and I'm very curious to see how it's gonna go. And when you have that super tough schedule down the stretch, sometimes you th see things spiral of teams. And I feel like it can go south for K-State with how thin their roster is.
In the five spot, we had TCU. TCU, we've talked a lot about, obviously, and they've been pretty good. We've talked about how they really don't have a great win. Their best win is against Arizona State, who is now 113th in KenPom. And it was, you know, I don't know. I think, I don't know. Lost to Clemson and Nevada, the two teams that are top 40 in KenPom. But I feel like five is still an okay spot for them. I don't know if I'd have them as high as five right now, but I don't think it was a horrible pick. I think that's right around where they are.
Yeah, we probably gave them a little upside just because we're a little bit biased, but
Probably,
I mean they're probably in that middle pack. We'll definitely dive into them more, obviously, but I wouldn't say that's a horrible miss. Maybe a little bit better than we would have thought, but
Next,
all
we
right.
have in the fourth spot, we had Texas. Again, it's kind of similar. I don't think Texas is a bad team. I'm not sure they're as high as four, but they are kind of in that you've talked about that middle pack with Texas and TCU and Texas Tech and you know maybe like a Cincinnati or something. But yeah, what do you think about that? I mean, they were not
Yeah.
healthy. I mean, they were not healthy for most of the time, so it's hard to know, but I don't think that was a crazy miss.
Yeah, that's probably about right. They've won every game pretty convincingly since Dessou came back, so that's been huge for them. And they've probably been a little bit underwhelming, I would say. But I mean, if you look at it in general, I think that's probably about where they're gonna be as a fully healthy team, that middle to upper tier.
They start with Texas Tech at home, which is always a fun game.
That's gonna be fun, yeah.
All right, third. The top three, we kind of had a good idea about the top three. We had Baylor at the three spot, and KenPom currently has Baylor at the four in the Big 12. They're 11-2. They have wins over Seton Hall and Auburn, Florida, and they have losses to Michigan State, which was a horrible loss, and then a loss to Duke as well. What do you think about Baylor?
Yeah, that's probably where I'd put him. Oh, we can redraft here in a sec, but
Yeah,
I
we'll
might
redo.
even put they're probably three or four. Yeah, I'd say that's right about where we thought. You know, they've lost some games due to their defense, but their offense is that good where they're going to be at the top for the majority of the season.
Yep. All right, number two, we have Houston. Houston currently has the best adjusted defense in KenPom. They have the 18th adjusted offense in KenPom. They're the number one team in the country in KenPom. This is Kansas and Houston at the beginning of the year were kind of, it was take your pick on who you like more, and both those teams are good teams, I would say.
Yeah, I think Houston should even be getting more love because they're number one in net, number one in KenPom, and they just haven't had a hiccup at all so far this year. They've had good wins. They haven't had a great, but they beat Utah, Dayton, Xavier, A&M. The one thing here, though, is that after they've had this non-conference, they've had the AAC in the past couple of years. So it's going to be super interesting to see how they're going to deal with that gauntlet and to see if they're ready for it. I think they are because all their metrics have been so good and they've just been so dominating, but it's definitely going to be a different atmosphere for them and it'll be super interesting to see how they adjust.
It's just absurd. I'm looking at their KenPom page right now, and if you're familiar with KenPom, if you go to their page, there's an offensive column and a defensive column, and if they're good, it's green, and if they're bad,
Yeah.
it's red, and they are completely green in the defensive
Yeah,
column. It's
dark
just
green
amazing.
too. Yeah.
Yeah. It's wild. They are a, I don't know. It seems silly to say this, but they're a really good team, and we'll redraft in a little bit, but that might be my, I don't know. We'll see. That might be my number
Yeah.
one, team. And then lastly, we had Kansas number one, which again, not a bad pick at all. That's pro I mean, they were the AP preseason number one
Yeah.
team. They have good wins. They beat Tennessee, UConn, Indiana, Missouri. Their only loss came to Marquette at a neutral site. They're 13th in KenPom overall, and they're third in the Big 12 behind Houston and BYU and KenPom. So pretty good pick there. That was a safe pick then, and it's still a pretty good, I mean, I think it's still a really good pick now. They're a good team.
Yeah, they're gonna be at the upper echelon of all of college basketball throughout all this year. They've had the gauntlet in the non-conference. They've had signature wins. Again, the only hiccup being a Marquette is probably the only difference between them and Houston right now. But Houston hasn't even played a team the caliber of Marquette yet, so it's tough to say there. They're really good. We'll talk about it more, obviously, especially with TCU's matchup with them this weekend. But I mean, they're going to be good. We've obviously gone back and forth with how good they really are, and they do have issues. But I mean, they're going to be probably a top three team in the conference whole year, and they're going to have that target on their back of being that number one preseason team and having the personalities and all that. So they're everything that comes with being a top team.
They also have a great defense. They're fourth defensively in KenPom. They're 38th offensively, but I love to, I mean, when you, I just love to look at the defense in this league, and I think that's a huge indicator. And like you said, they start at home against TCU, and TCU went into, we'll talk about this. I don't want to talk too much about it
Yeah.
now, but TCU went into Lawrence last year and kind of blew them out. So I'm sure that that group is going to want to prevent that from happening again. But before we get into that, let's redraft, I'd say, because we I think we have a better idea of what's going on in this league. And overall, though, I'd say it was pretty good. It was decent. There was just,
Yeah.
BYU was a little low. Kansas State was a little high. Oklahoma might be a little low, but I'm okay with it. I feel good.
Yeah.
You want to redraft?
It could be a lot worse. Yeah, I'm ready to read off and then see how much we miss at the end of the year because once conference play starts is when it really starts jumbling around and you start to figure out really how good teams are. But yeah, I'm ready to do this thing.
All right. Do you want to take the number one pick?
Yeah, I can go ahead and do it.
Yeah, go for it.
I am gonna take Houston.
Yeah, I agree.
I think they They are, it's crazy to say because I think they're AP3, but I think they're the best team in the country. I think them or Purdue. They're number one in net, number one Kempom, as you said, and we just talked about them so long, but they haven't had a hiccup and they have a lot of quality wins that don't shine, which I think is why they're not getting as loved by the APs, that they don't have that one win where they beat a number one ranked team or a number two ranked team to really boost them up like above a Kansas or a Purdue. But I mean, if you look at them, they're better than people even give them credit for, and I don't think they're gonna have much trouble in this conference. I see them probably losing, I don't know, three or four games here or there because the Big 12 is such a gauntlet, but I think they are probably going to win the conference.
Yeah, I agree. I would have Houston number one as well. Number two, I'm very tempted to take BYU just because of the vibes, but I am going to take Kansas. I think they're just, you know what you have with Kansas right now. They have one of the best coaches in the country. They have, two or three, maybe two of the best players in the country. They have really good wins over Kentucky, Tennessee, Connecticut. We talked about all that. And they are, different from Houston in the fact that they have played a Big 12 slate before, and they know what they're getting into here. So I'm gonna take Kansas at the two.
Yeah, I can't disagree with you there. BYU and Kansas is what I was thinking of, so I'm gonna go with BYU here. Their metrics are insane, and you have to kind of show them love for what they've done in the non-conference so far. I do think they'll probably struggle a little. They'll probably pick up, I don't know, five losses in the in five or six somewhere around there in conference, or maybe it'll get worse. I don't know, but I do think they'll have success and be, as you know, I'm picking them three, maybe a top three team in the conference. And they just kind of have, I don't know what it is, that it factor where they're deep and they seem like they can have success in a weird way. Because before the season, I wouldn't think so at all, coming from the WCC, going straight into the Big 12. And they weren't even a good team in the WCC last year, which is insane because they
Crazy.
pretty much have such a similar roster.
Yeah.
But they pass the eye test of just being good and facing adversity and being able to have such quality wins, and their one loss being at Utah is not a bad loss at all, and they probably were projected to lose that game. So
Yeah.
I'm gonna go BYU here at the three slot.
All right. And the four, I'm going to take out Iowa State, I think. I've been really impressed with just their team. I know that TJ Altzelberger is one of the better coaches in the conference. They have a guard. What's his name? Tamin Lipsey, I think.
Yeah,
And that
he was
dude is
a
just,
yeah.
he is filling up the stat sheet completely. I'm looking at it. The leader in points, rebounds, assists, and steals for the team. And the dude is what? He's 6'1". So, I don't know. He's one of my favorite players to watch right now in the conference. And I think that there's just experience on this team. And it came down to, I think it came down for me to Baylor and Kansas. I mean, sorry, and Baylor and Iowa State here in
Yeah.
the four spot. And Iowa State's defense is so much better than Baylor's. And you can argue that, I mean, it is factual that Baylor's offense is better than Iowa State, but I just value defense right now, especially in this league. And I'm gonna put Iowa State there. I like that.
Yeah, I love that you brought up Lipsy too, because I probably would have taken Iowa State here. But
Okay, good.
if I'm watching him, I feel like he has, you know, the similar build and similar effect on the team. I don't want to say this without a grain of salt, but as Mike Miles did last year with TCU, he's kind of their lead guard who commands everything and has the same type of style of play almost when I watch him. So I think that's, he's taken such a big step in year two and kind of being one of the only returning players for Iowa State. He's been massive for them, and he's going to lead them to success in conference play. And as you said, probably choosing between Iowa State or Baylor, I'm going to go ahead and take Baylor here. I don't love their defense, as we talked about before, and but their offense is so lethal, and they have that new home gym now, which is actually pretty cool. And I, you know, they're Baylor. They've been such a good team for so many years now, and they're just gonna be up there. And I don't think you can go wrong putting Baylor at the five spot.
No, you can't. All right. Six. Six. I'll take Oklahoma here. And this is a big jump. Oklahoma was 11th in our
Yep.
preseason draft. They're sixth now. And I like them because they're one of the teams that's been tested in non-conference. They have good wins. They beat Iowa, USC, Arkansas, Providence. Their only loss came to North Carolina in what Kim Pom calls a semi-away game. So they're just one of those teams that I like the fact that they've played some quality opponents and they've looked good against those quality opponents and they have good wins. And I think they are just gonna kind of be, I mean, obviously the Big 12 is a different animal, but a lot of these teams they're playing are good and they are kind of gonna be able to. They are one of the teams that has an idea of what they are because they've played quality opponents, and I like that.
Yeah, I agree. At the next spot, I'm probably gonna go with the Frogs here, to be
Okay.
honest. I like what we've done so far. I don't love it, obviously. We don't have that signature win, and the schedule has seemed to backfire on us because we didn't beat the Nevada or the Clemson. But I mean, we've handled business with every opponent that's not up to that caliber of being a top 40 KenPom team or something like that. So I think we'll be good and frisky. We'll probably be around that middle pack. I would hope to say higher, probably around 500 in conference play. We're deep. We have experience, and I just think, you know, we'll be in the top half, hopefully,
I
of
like it.
conference play.
I
Yeah.
like it. I'll take Texas in the eight spot. You mentioned earlier they've looked like kind of a different team with Dessau back and healthy, and I
Yeah.
like that. I mean, he's their best player, and him having him back is not it's not super surprising that they look better. So they, like we said, they start with Texas Tech, which is always a fun game. So I'm excited to see how that goes, and I feel good. I feel good about them in the eight.
Yeah, I'll go with Cincy here at this next pick.
Okay.
They're kind of had a similar path as TCU in terms of they haven't had a great win, but they haven't had a bad loss. So you kind of have to put them in that middle pack because that's all you know from the team. So they'll probably be around the same. They have decent experience with a lot of juniors on the team. And yeah, I just think they're going to be decent and not bad.
Cool. I like that. And they were 10 in our original one. They're 9 now. So that was a pretty good. That was good. That was a fine
Yeah.
pick. I will go in the 10 in this spot. I'll go with Texas Tech.
Yeah.
They're kind of just that middle of the pack team that is gonna have a chance to get into the tournament. They have a good win over Michigan, a neutral site. They kind of beat up on Michigan actually, and they're I don't know. I like them. I like McCaslin a lot. I think their production kind of is spread evenly, which is an interesting sign. They have Pop Isaacs and Joe Tusson, and those guys are both over 14 a game. And then they have Warren Washington, who where is he from? Is he from did he come from Arizona State?
Yes, I believe
Yeah.
so.
Yeah, I remember him from the tournament last year. But yeah, I like Texas Tech, and they have a fun environment, so I like them at 10.
Yeah, I'd say this is kind of where it takes a big drop off. In terms of these bottom four seem kind of stable at this point. I'm probably gonna go UCF
Okay.
just because they don't seem to have struggled as much as the other three teams that are remaining. They don't have a great win. Their best win's probably against, I don't know, Charlotte or something. But their only bad loss is Stetson. You know, 9-3 isn't bad. Again, we picked him last, so we didn't expect him to be good, but it just, they're probably the best of the bad, in my opinion.
I'll go Kansas State here at 12. We don't have to talk too much about them. We've talked a lot about Kansas State on this podcast, so
Yeah.
We kind of know what their deal is. They've gone through some things. They're not as talented as we thought they might be. We thought maybe that the momentum would carry over for Tang and the Wildcats, and it just really hasn't. So they're in the 12th.
Yeah. I'll go Oklahoma State here, second to
Okay.
last. They struggled a lot at first, and they've proven that they're probably not going to be great once the Big 12 schedule starts, but they've won the last four straight, and they were won six out of the last eight, with losses coming to Creighton and Southern Illinois, which aren't bad losses. They've beaten Tulsa, Oral Roberts, Wofford, which are decent wins,
Yeah.
but Tulsa being your best one isn't good, so that's why they're 13. But they just aren't as bad as West Foss, so
Yeah.
that's why I'm taking them.
Yeah. All right. We know who the last place team is. It's West Virginia. We've kind of
Yeah.
talked a lot about them on this podcast the last couple of weeks as well. They're just not good. And
Yeah.
it's hard to blame them, really. They just don't have, I don't know. They don't have that many good players. And even so they got their guy back. What was
Yeah.
who is it? What's his
Raekwon
name?
Battle.
Yeah, Raekwon Battle, and he
He's
immediately
been
comes
balling.
in and is completely
Yeah.
dominating. So, and it doesn't matter. It doesn't even matter. So, yeah, they're
Yeah.
not good, and they're the last place team, pretty comfortably, I think.
Yeah. Raekwon is the last hope for him, and they did push Ohio State to OT in their last game, but I still don't have faith in him, and they're gonna be in that bottom four for sure.
Yeah, they got to go to Houston first, which is just going to be brutal, I think, for them. All right, cool. Well, that's our new draft, and I guess we'll revisit it. We can maybe revisit it like halfway through Big 12, and then maybe again
Yeah.
before the tournament. But it's cool to see we got most of it right. There's just a couple that we missed on, but I mean, that's how it is preseason. You can't be perfect.
Yeah, BYU was obviously the big one. We'll see. I'm probably the most interested to see how they're gonna stick around as conference play comes.
Yeah.
But
All right, before we take a break and talk about TCU, do you want to each mention one non-conference, I mean, sorry, Big 12 conference play game that you're excited about this week?
yeah, I'm down. It's the
Yeah.
first awesome slate of the year, so
Yeah. You pick
we gotta
yours,
talk about it.
and we can do anything from today until next Wednesday. So
I got
any of
you.
this week.
So I talked about it a little bit before, but I think that Iowa State Oklahoma game has a super interesting has a really good chance to be a top game. It sucks it's on ESPN Plus, but
Yeah.
you have Iowa State and Oklahoma, who are two similar teams that they've exceeded expectations and have put themselves on this pedestal of being contenders. I think whoever wins that game will have a big jump in how people see them, and notably to the college basketball world, because they both kind of, I feel like, slid under the radar a little bit with the top echelon teams. And having that statement win, Iowa State at Oklahoma or Oklahoma beating them at home, is going to be huge for them.
Yeah. That's a good one. That'll be a good one. All right. Mine, I think I'm going to go to next Tuesday, January 9th, BYU at Baylor. I think that's going to be such a fun game. That's one of the first big games that Baylor will have at their new arena. I expect that place to be rocking. And BYU Baylor in football even too has kind of become this little rivalry. They play each other a lot even before
Yeah.
BYU got to the Big 12. And it's like a real religious showdown. I think it's kind of
Yeah,
fun.
I was just gonna say that.
But there, I mean,
It's
those are
a
both good teams, and we had BYU over Baylor in the power rankings, and who knows? I mean, this is going to be just a great test for both those teams. I don't know. I'm really excited about that.
Yeah, it's also Baylor's first big game in their new gym.
Yeah.
And I don't know if students will be back or not, but I'm sure that place will be rocking, and
Yeah.
BYU will be able to face their first Big 12 environment. They open the season at home against Cincy, but that at Baylor will be the first taste of what it's really like in the Big 12. So that's going to be a super fun test.
Yeah, I agree. All right, let's take a quick break and then we'll come back and talk some TCU.
Let's do it.
All right, we're back and we're going to talk TCU. TCU recently played in the Diamondback Classic. That's the we haven't talked since then. And then they beat remind me who they beat
They
recently,
beat
pretty.
Old Dominion, lost to Nevada, and then beat Hawaii.
And then who's the team they just met they just beat though, outside of it was
Texas A&M
Texas
Commerce.
A&M Commerce. Yeah. All right, so we'll talk about those games a little bit, and then we'll talk about TCU's really aggressive welcome to Big 12 play. They do not have it easy. We'll talk about that. But let's get into the Diamondhead Classic first, because we kind of discussed this and we kind of expected them to win this tournament, and they did not. Nevada beat them, and Nevada kind of beat them pretty good.
Yeah, they should have won this tournament. They're a better team than Nevada. I know that's like loser talk coming after you say that after you lost to a team, but they were the best team in the Diamondhead Classic. And being that Nevada is the only other team you played of like actual good quality, like they don't have a quad one or quad two win coming out of our conference. Those were the only two opportunities and they blew them. So, that first game against Old Dominion when they set a Diamondhead Classic record with 111 points, you were kind of feeling that, okay, the offense is going to be good. Like, we're just going to run through these teams. But they just, when they get caught up in the half court, their offense has struggled so much. And that was the case against Nevada. They couldn't really get anybody going other than E-man. So it's this is probably going to be an issue because every team in the Big 12 is higher quality than the teams that they beat, outside of maybe a West Virginia. But I mean, you're going to need to step up your game because to if you can't beat a Nevada or Clemson. And I think this shows the lack of scheduling that Jamie Dixon has had on this season. And because if you do take that approach and you win your games and you know you have the Big 12 lining up against you, it looks smart. But when you blow the only two games that are of quad one or quad two, then that shows a big effect. But I don't know. What do you think?
I mean, we talked about that earlier, like before the Clemson game, we brought up if they lose to Clemson and if they don't get a chance to play Nevada, this is not going to look good. Because now we really don't even know what's going to happen when TCU sees some of these. I mean, they're going to see Kansas on Saturday, and Kansas is by far better than Clemson and Nevada. And TCU, I mean, it's not like TCU kept it close with either of those teams, really. Like, they didn't look good against Clemson. They didn't look good against Nevada. So, and they almost, I mean, it's hard to, it's not fair to say this, but they basically should have lost to Georgetown. Like, it was kind of a lucky thing that they were able to
Thank
sneak a
God we got
win.
that one.
And you know, if the refs see that E-man's foot may have been out, or if he misses that insane shot, I think this is the we're talking about this team in a much different light right now. And I don't know, there's just a lot that we don't know, because we haven't played anyone, and the teams that they have played, they have not looked good against. So I think it's a little worrying, a little bit. And I don't know, it's also the fact that, like, Emmanuel Miller is now starting to heat up, and he's having good games, it seems like, every outing. But guys that I anticipated playing a little better, especially in that Nevada game, like Jacoby Coles was 2 of 9 with 4 points. I mean, yeah, 4 points. Jameer Nelson Jr. was 1 of 9 with 4 points. Like, you're not getting production from the guys you need to get production from in these big games. The same thing really kind of happening against Clemson. So I don't know. I'm excited to see if they can adjust and fix some of this stuff against Kansas, and then against, you know, Oklahoma and Houston, and you know, all those games. But right now I'm a little worried.
Kudos to Jamie too, because as Jacoby and Jameer have kind of fallen off a cliff, he didn't hesitate and made the switch to starting a new lineup, putting Trey and Avery in the starting lineup. And so far, that's worked so good, beating Hawaii. And then I actually love how they looked against A&M Commerce with Jacoby and Chuck out. They responded well, and and gotten big productions from guys that they usually didn't.
Mm-hmm.
On looking at the bright side though of conference, I would say it's we're in a weird spot because we don't have a bad loss. Like our worst loss is against 37 in Campbell, Nevada, and we've beaten every team that we're supposed to beat. So it's definitely not a bad team.
Yeah.
And as we've seen in bracketologies, like we're always on the bubble in every single one. So this just goes to show we put ourselves in a position where every single Big 12 game is going to be so massive to have on the resume. And you probably, I would say the goal is to go 500 in conference, which is so tough to do in the Big 12. And if you do that, I would say you probably get in. But every single game is going to be so tough for this team. I hope Jacoby and Chuck are back for Kansas because those guys are so big for the offense in terms of shooting and stretching the floor and just staying under control and stuff like that. But I loved how we bounced back. We have taken care of the teams we're supposed to have taken care of with a lucky shot from Eman against Georgetown. But you have to get some nice quality wins in conference, and it's become that much more urgent, more than last year's team or even the year before.
Yeah, and ESPN's latest bracketology, TCU is one of the four out. I think they're with Texas Tech in that as well. I'll have to pull it up, but
Yeah, and
they're not.
K-State.
Oh, and Kansas State, yeah. So they're not in, and that means they have work to do in the toughest conference of basketball. So I think they can do it. They're talented. They're deep. I like how they get out and run, but they have weaknesses. And I think teams probably have a pretty good idea what it's going to take to beat them and kind of exploit those weaknesses. So I hope that this team can adjust and kind of show us something and maybe, at least like, I hate to say this, but at least like keep it close with Kansas. Like Clemson and Georgetown, for the majority of both those games, they were not good games and TCU did not look good. So I would love to just see like a competitive game, Obviously, you're trying to win in Lawrence, but if you go in Lawrence and you give Kansas everything they can handle, that's something you can take away. But we'll talk more about that game in a little bit. But I'd love to see something out of this team when they're playing quality opponents.
Yeah, notably in the bracketology too, the Big 12 has five teams on the bubble per se, per Lunardi, which is K-State, TCU, Tech, Cincy, and UT. So there's going to be every single game that these guys are going to play is probably going to be is against teams wanting to get in the tournament. That even goes down to your Westfall. Like if they stack up some random wins, then they can make a push to the committee. Like there's going to be no off night. So it comes down to having to be better, so much better prepared for these games than you were in the past against your quality opponents being the Clemson and Nevada. Dixon needs to get these guys more equipped to handle that half court game because if they get the game in transition, they can beat anybody. They are the best fast break team in the country. And if they get you to play your style, it's like a Big 12 team going against a Big 10 team in football. Like if you get them playing at your style, like you saw with TCU Michigan last year or something like that, then you can make a big push to, get the other teams out of their natural environments. And that's the blueprint of TCU is getting them out of transition, keeping them in the half court. But if we want to look more into this Kansas game, I
Yeah,
mean,
let's get into it.
yeah, it's the Ernest Uday revenge game, as we could quote it, and he had his best game of the season against A&M Commerce. He had 13 and 18 in 19 minutes, which
That's
is
awesome. That's
insane.
so
That's the
awesome.
most rebounds by a TCU player since 2020.
Kevin
And
Samuel,
he,
maybe?
yeah, Kevin Samuel.
Yep.
And then he's played the most minutes out of all big men or out of his games in the last two games being 20 minutes, which is a lot more than like the average 13, 14 he was getting at the start of the year. So he's kind of emerged as being their go-to center. Obviously, Tennyson and like Their new lineup has been working for them, so I anticipate them sticking with Avery and Trey, Micah, Eman, and Uday for the five. But Kansas is going to be such a tough test. What do you think our odds are?
Well, it's hard to know because again, it's just difficult to know how this team's going to look because they look, I mean, they look really good against bad teams. Like they looked really good against Texas A&M Commerce, and they don't look great against decent teams to good teams, you know. So I'm curious to know. And then you have like, what are you going to do with Hunter Dickinson? And for a while, that was a question I was pretty worried about because there's not a lot of clarity about what's going on and with the TCU big men. But, and I know that A&M Commerce isn't good, but the fact that Ernest Udeh has a game like this right before Kansas makes me a little, I mean, it makes me feel a little bit better. He's going to want to play a good game there in Lawrence. And he's, I mean, he's the best chance you have to slow Hunter Dickinson down, I think. So it's going to come down to that. And I don't know. A lot of these guys were on the team last year when TCU rolled in there and made it look easy. So they have an idea of what it takes, and I'm excited. It's always fun to play Kansas. It's always fun.
Yeah, it's a interesting dynamic because in terms of possession length, TCU is the fourth fastest possession length, and then on Kansas defense, they hold their teams to the 304th fastest. So they strive on keeping you in the half court, and they have the number four defense in the nation. So TCU, a huge part of their success is going to be getting them to turn the ball over, and Kansas isn't great at not turning the ball over. They're 127th in turnover percentage. So you can execute this if you want. That's how we saw last year with, the big Shahada Wells game, and getting them out in transition worked, and we blew them out in Kansas. So there's definitely a blueprint on them, and you can do it if you want, but I mean, it's going to be tough. Hopefully Uday's big frame can contain Dickinson a little bit, but and you probably put Micah on McCullough, but I don't know. It's going to be super tough. I would say you actually match up kind of decent because you have the big frame in Uday to put on Dickinson. You have Eman to put on KJ Adams, and you have Micah to put on McCullough. If you keep those three guys in check, you have a decent shot. And I do think Kansas is kind of vulnerable, but you just need to have a decent offensive game and shoot at semi-efficient numbers to have a chance.
Yeah, you mentioned Shahada Wells. How great would it be to have him right now? He's your tweet. I saw your tweet. He's one of the better players in the country.
Yeah.
It's just crazy. It would be awesome to have him on this team, but
I mean, dude is
especially,
balling.
yeah, especially considering what he did to Kansas last year. Just, but yeah, the point you make about how TCU's strength is its pace and Kansas's strength is slowing that pace. It's going to be interesting to see which one wins because I think if TCU is able to speed up Kansas, I think TCU has a really good chance. And if Kansas is able to slow down TCU, like we've seen Nevada and Clemson do, I think TCU has virtually a 0% chance. Like it's just not, I mean, it's just, if you're going to want to win, you're going to want to run because we have not seen enough out of the half court offense for the Frogs to make me feel comfortable about, relying on it. So I don't know. And the other thing, Jacoby Coles was so good to start the year. Having him back and, doing his thing and scoring more would be great. Jameer Nelson Jr. still has not really showed his scoring ability as much as we would have probably liked him to. And this is an awesome opportunity to do that. So yeah, I think it's going to be a tough game, but it is a winnable game. I mean, every single game in this conference, probably for every single team, is a winnable game. It's just going to be how you handle it. And playing in Allen Fieldhouse is so tough, especially because of the little, I might get in trouble for this, but the little help they have with the stripes. The stripes give us some help sometimes, but you just got to overcome all that. And I think if TCU plays their pace and they get their scores to score, I think it's anybody's game.
Yeah, I actually don't worry about the defense that much. I think our defense, like Kansas offense is 38th in the nation, which could be a lot worse, and our defense is 45th. And I think, as I said before, we match up decent enough to where we can kind of contain him. And I don't think it could get too out of control in terms of Kansas putting, I don't know, 100 on us or something like that. But it's just going to come down to shot making. And Tennyson's going to be a big X factor because he's the best shooter on the team. Avery Anderson's going to be a big X factor because he can, he can become a shot maker and create his own shot. And yeah, I would love to have Jacoby back. His shot making is going to be key. I would love to check back. His shot making is going to be key. But I do think they'll keep it close. I don't know if they'll win, but I mean, it's going to be a great game.
Yeah. All right. Before we go, do you want to do some non-conference takeaways or maybe like a non-conference problem that you'd like to see TCU fix in conference play? You want to pick a couple of those and we can talk about them before we get out of here?
Yeah. I would give them, like, if I were to do a grade on this non-conference, I'd probably give them like a B minus,
Yeah, I'm right there. C plus
C
B
plus
minus
type
I'd
of
say for
thing.
me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because they haven't been bad, but they haven't been good. And they didn't hiccup on anybody, which probably bumps you above a C, but you haven't beat anybody good. And that just comes down to mostly scheduling, as we've said. The big takeaway for me is getting guys other than Eman to be more consistent, especially in the half court offense, because nobody has really been able to have consistent efficiency and success on the half court besides Eman. And that probably comes down to a little bit in coaching with play calling and getting guys open because you're so used to playing at such a fast pace. So I would love to see that be better fixed in the conference. And
Yeah.
it's been a struggle for TCU over the past couple of years.
Yeah. We had high expectations for guys like Jameer Nelson Jr. to come in here and fill the void that Dame and Mike left. And it really just hasn't happened consistently yet. And I would love to see that happen. You know, I'd love to see him be more consistent scoring wise, be more efficient scoring wise, and just be like a more reliable bucket getter on this team. And then on the other side, like Avery Anderson, who hasn't been bad, I don't think. He was good in non-conference, but I think his role on this team is going to be so important because he is one of the most experienced guys that we have. He's played so much Big 12 basketball, and he knows the conference. He just knows what it takes to play in a, you know, play a slate that is tough every night. And I think that if he can emerge a little bit and make his presence felt, which he has already, I'm not saying he hasn't been good, but he's going to be important just as much as guys like, you know, Coles or Micah are, is going to be important, I think.
For sure. I mean, Micah has probably been the best actual guard, which is funny because he wasn't really a guard last year. But yeah, I would like to see a guy of an Avery or Jameer or a Trey kind of emerge as that guy that you could account on every night. Because when you don't have stability in guys you can account on, you can see a lot of off nights going on. And I'm also interested to see because Jamie's had such a deep rotation, and that can kind of harm you as you
Yeah,
go into conference
absolutely.
play because you like to have consistency with guys so you know you can play with and rotations you know you can count on. So I would love to see if somebody struggles more than another, you take them out of the rotation and keep it smaller to have that, more accountability on an every night basis.
Yeah, I think it's cool to have that long, like 10, 11 man rotation and non-conference play because you can kind of figure out what these guys are and you know who plays well with each other. But when it gets to Big 12 play, those big rotations can hurt you because you kind of rely on all of them, and that's not realistic. You can't expect all these guys to play the same, you know, play at the same caliber as at, you know, what they played in non-conference. So, and then, you know, it's the exact opposite of a team like Kansas, who's had a short rotation all year and it's worked out for them. I kept bringing up depth and how I was worried about it, but really they just know who they, you know, they know who their guys are. They have, you know, like sometimes seven guys that they feel comfortable playing, and it gets the job done every time. So, I would love to see Jamie, maybe cut it down one or two spots, but
Yeah.
he'll make that call, and it just depends on who's playing well,
With that being said, too, you mentioned Kansas depth. I mean, if TCU could get a Hunter Dickinson or a McCullough or a KJ Adams in foul trouble, I mean,
Yeah,
that would be
absolutely.
nice because
That would be
that's
really
the other
nice.
side of having a small rotation is that you don't have guys you can rely on. So, I mean, there's another key to the game. TCU can sneak it.
Yeah, attack Hunter Dickinson. Get him in foul trouble. That might be the only way you really, I don't know. It's gonna be tough. It's gonna be a fun game. I'm excited to start watching these Big 12 games because we've been talking about like how anticipated they are, like every game is going to be a battle, and there's not a tougher start for TCU. You can't have a tougher start. You go to Kansas, and then you get Oklahoma and Houston at home the next two. So
Yeah,
we're going to
you want
find
to
out a
win one of them.
ton. We're going to find out a ton about. Yeah. That's a good question. What do you want to see out of those first three games? Because all three of those games are brutal. So what is a realistic result in those first three?
I think realistic is, I think you can be fine with one and two, which you obviously hope for better, but Kansas and Houston are literally two and three in the AP poll, so it's going to be tough to beat that. I do think Oklahoma's the most winnable game by far, and I do think we can win that because we don't know what Oklahoma has there, and we'll probably have another pod out before next week, but yeah, I think if you win one of those, you're fine because then you go Cincy, Iowa State, Oklahoma State, which gets a little bit easier. But you probably, I mean, you just want to go 500 in conference play, and these are some of the tougher games you have to play. So if you drop a couple of them, then it's not the end of the world. Obviously, if you lose at Kansas, that's kind of expected.
Losing at Kansas is, everybody loses at Kansas, but when you have Oklahoma and Houston at home right away, you would love to get a home win against one of those teams.
Yeah. I hope the
And
students or a lot of the students coming back early for that Houston game because getting that environment loud is would be a big advantage for us.
TCU is an underrated atmosphere, I think,
Yeah, especially the last couple
especially
of years for
recently.
sure.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, it's going to be a lot of fun. I'm excited to watch all these games. The Big 12 slate is finally upon us. It's been a while, but we've got here. We don't have to talk about any of those silly non-conference games anymore.
Yeah.
But yeah, we'll have it. We'll be here all season. Keep coming back. Keep listening. It's going to be exciting. TCU Kansas to start off. You can't ask for anything more than that.
Yeah.
But thank you for listening to this week's episode of the Killer Frogs, Frog Fever, Big 12 Basketball Podcast. You can find us anywhere you like to listen to your podcast, Spotify, Apple Music. Where else can you find us? Killerfrogs.com.
Everywhere.
Everywhere. You can find us anywhere. Just look and you'll find us. Thanks again for tuning in. My name is Davis Wilson. That's Nick Germani, and we will see you next week.